When it comes to spiritual warfare, the devil's key tactics do not just involve keeping the lost from coming to know him. They involve keeping the saved from being effective for Jesus Christ. The truth is, the evil one is real. And on today's PowerPoint, Pastor Graham is going to show you exactly how you can have victory over Satan in one of the most important battlegrounds of all. So stay where you are. PowerPoint with Jack Graham begins right now.
Well, we are in a series of messages called Invisible. There's more to life than what you see. And there truly is. We need to learn how to live above sea level. Just what we see, just what we feel. Beyond our physical senses, there is a world, a real world, a realm of life beyond what is seen, beyond what you would consider perhaps normal or even natural. The supernatural and the spiritual. And as believers in Jesus Christ, we understand that we are engaged in a spiritual battle. We've been talking about that the last several weeks. Where do we fight this battle? What is this battle? When we talk about battles, well, there are battles of different kinds, of course, but primarily the battle that we fight, the battle that we face is between the ears. That's why I'm calling this message, The Battle for Your Mind. Satan desires to create doubt, confusion, even despair in the pathways of your brain and your mind, and to control the way you think. We know the Bible tells us, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. We are what we think. You may not be what you think you are, but what you are is what you think. You think what you are. And it is the brain that becomes the control force of our very lives. Of course, we're to protect the brain and against the onslaught of Satan himself. I brought a prop. Ephesians 5:17. Says that we are to put on, look at it, Ephesians 5:17, that we are to put on the helmet of salvation and take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, I've got a Prestonwood Academy Lions helmet here. The helmet today is much greater than the helmets that some of us wore back in the day. Some of you guys that played football in the 50s, you would have loved a helmet like this, right? I mean, because the helmets in the 50s, some of you wore leather, I think, right? That's why you're drooling on yourself this morning. These helmets are thickly padded. Of course, we're very concerned. One of the objects of a lot of discussion today, both in football as well as other sports, is to protecting the brain from injury and concussions and the effect of concussions. It would be a very dumb thing to do to play a football game without your helmet. I'm a baseball player, former, but I never went to bat without a helmet. Even the helmets today are better. I don't think you want to go and face a 95-mile-an-hour fastball without a helmet. And so we understand, we get that part, that the helmet, then like a Roman soldier's helmet, is to be taken up, it is to be appropriated, it is to be worn, put on, take up the helmet of salvation, which is the sword of the Spirit, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Why? Because the brain is the control center of the body. And what the brain does is to think. The brain is the control center of our emotions, our intellect, and our will. It's true that what you think ultimately becomes what you do. The actions you take or the reactions you take are a result of the way that we all think. And what we think, therefore, we become, because ultimately the actions and the reactions become patterns and passages, pathways in our minds and in our behavior, and ultimately become the way that we live, whether we take a pathway into righteousness or whether we take a pathway into unrighteousness. Now, the Bible tells us that Satan desires to take the mind captive, to control our thought lives. This is how he wages war against us. Now, there are ways in which believers and unbelievers relate to Satan. Satan and his demonic forces, and in Ephesians 5, we learn from the principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness there mentioned earlier, that there is not only Satan, but he presides over an evil hierarchy of demonic and powerful forces, demonic beings, minions from hell, the hordes of hell. He can possess us not only himself, or possess our thought life not only himself, but through demon powers and demon spirits. Jesus often dealt with demon powers and demon spirits in the Bible. Now, how does a demon, how can Satan affect us? One way is by demonic or satanic oppression, in which he comes against us with assaults of various kinds and oppresses the mind. And then another way is satanic possession. Now, a believer cannot be possessed by the devil, but an unbeliever can be so controlled by Satan that he no longer does his own will, but rather does the will completely and totally of Satan himself. There is another way in which Satan attacks us, and that is with satanic or demonic occupation. Oppression, possession, and occupation. And that center one there, that's what we're going to focus on today. When Satan can actually begin controlling the way even a believer thinks, that we become slaves to our own sins, that there are mental fortresses set up in our lives that must be overcome in order for us to live the Christian life in power and in victory. This is a very deep subject. I hope you'll be praying for me as we deliver it today. Spiritual forces can occupy our minds, creating doubt and confusion. And since the Garden of Eden, when he tempted and tested the mind of Eve and Adam, as he deceived their minds, Satan and his demon forces have been polishing their tools and their weapons. They know how to use them very, very well. And the deciding factor between victory and defeat in your life indeed takes place between your ears. So what do we need to know? First, I want to talk to you about the prerequisite of salvation. If you are going to win this battle for your mind, you need to understand the prerequisite of salvation. I'm simply saying, put on the helmet of salvation, the helmet of deliverance. This is obviously talking about salvation from sin, because it is impossible for you to overcome the enemy in your life if you are caught in the grasp of Satan himself, if you are held helpless in his arms. And therefore, you need to be delivered from sin. And Paul is making it clear here that the helmet of salvation is something we need to take, that we need to put on. We're told that at times the Roman soldiers would actually receive their helmets from the commander-in-chief. Before a battle, they would take the helmet from the commander and put it on. And so in a salvation way, essentially, we put on the helmet of salvation when we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior. But that's not the end. Remember, this is the armor of God. And we are to be putting on this armor, appropriating all of these truths, the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness and the shoes of the gospel of peace and the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation. All of these pieces are to be put on, appropriated, not because we haven't received salvation already, but because we have received it, we must now apply it and take it up and put it on a daily basis. Salvation could be translated in Ephesians 5:17 as deliverance, that we are delivered from all of the oppression of the enemy. We are delivered. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The gospel of Jesus Christ has the power to set you free. I want you to hear this at the outset. This gospel, our great God and Savior, he has the power to deliver you from every assault of the enemy, from every bondage, from every occupation, from every addiction. Don't listen to the lies of the world, which will tell you you are stuck in a certain lifestyle, or you were born in a certain way, or you're genetically programmed and you cannot change. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Jesus Christ can deliver you from every sin, no matter what it is. And no matter how long you've been living in this sin and how long Satan has occupied your mind or even possessed your soul, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You begin by receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, and then day by day you are delivered from the works of the enemy. Jesus taught us to pray, deliver us from the evil one. He said, I've come to set the captive free. So start there.
If you spend any time online, then you should check out our PowerPoint Facebook page. Just look us up on Facebook and let us know your reactions to Pastor Graham's messages or how God is working in your life. Let me tell you something. Nothing encourages Jack like seeing how God has changed someone's life. Wherever you are, anywhere in the world, let us hear from you today on PowerPoint Facebook page. All around us today, there is an invisible realm. It's just as real and just as active as the physical world we can see. Yet as we go about our daily lives, it's easy to forget that truth and become a target of the evil one. In Pastor Jack Graham's series called Invisible, he'll reveal who these forces are and explore topics like the existence of angels, the battle for your mind, and what is heaven really like. You'll never look at the world the same way again. The CD series titled Invisible is our gift to thank you for your donation to PowerPoint this month. So please request your copy when you call. It's our prayer that God would give you insight into the invisible through this eye-opening series.
Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5. This is a very critical passage in our Invisible series. Words from God that instruct us regarding the problem of strongholds and how to tear them down. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, that is, they're not carnal, fleshly, carnivorous is the word, root word there, the idea, carne. Not of the flesh, but they have divine power to destroy strongholds. Encircle that word strongholds there. And we're going to review that in just a moment as to what that means, strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion, that King James says, every imagination. This has to do with the mind. And every opinion raised against the knowledge of God. And watch this, take every thought captive to obey Christ. What is a stronghold? How can Satan get a foothold, which ultimately becomes a stronghold in our lives? This pattern of thinking develops. It can take the form of obsessions, mental obsessions. Why can't I stop thinking this way? Why does my mind always take me there? You have something in your head that you can't put away. It's an obsession. Sinful habits can be a stronghold. Our sin becomes like a slavery, like strongholds in our lives. The word stronghold could also, maybe you just write in the margin of your Bible there, a mental fortress. I mean, the root word there is cement. Something that is stuck in your head. It can be a fixation, phobias, fears, anxieties of all kinds, compulsions to do things that you don't want to do, A stronghold can be in the realm of the emotions, like bitterness. Bitterness is a very strong bondage in people's lives. Anger turned inside out. Uncontrollable lust can be a bondage, a stronghold. We're not talking here about passing thoughts or ordinary common temptations that are common to all of us, but controlling, captivating ideas and imaginations that do not come from God, but rather their lofty opinions raised against the knowledge of God, arguments and imaginations and ideas that oppose God. And it's possible that a person can so listen to the lies of Satan that you become confused and chaos is the result. It can happen in a believer's life. We start listening to other voices. We start hearing the world instead of hearing from the Word. We don't listen to the signals that come from God, but the signals that come from Satan himself. And ultimately, he can deceive us, he can distort the truth so that we begin believing lies and therefore living lies. And some of you are caught in one of these strongholds, one of these sinful patterns of behavior and addiction, and you don't know how to get out. You don't know how to break the habits. Drugs and alcohol, these can be satanic bondages. Strongholds, pornography. How do we tear down these fortresses that are built in our mind? How do we deconstruct these passages, these dirt roads that are built in our minds? How do we win? 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds." Our weapons are not carnal. They're not fleshly. They're not human weapons. I want you to listen very carefully to what I say. I believe in Christian therapy. I believe in Christian counseling. I believe in programs, if they're Christ-centered especially, that help people through their addictions. I believe in medications under certain terms when doctors prescribe medicine to help people with mental issues. I believe in all of that, but let me tell you something. You can't overcome the power of the devil by education, just knowing more. World tells you that. Know more, understand your, go to your bookstore in the mall and look under self-help. The world has a lot to say about helping yourself and overcoming your addictions and living a better life and living a greater life. But it's not education, it's not more knowledge that we need. Nor is it medication. More pills to sedate us, to calm us, to lift us. Again, medication, education has its place. But these are not powerful enough to destroy the works of the enemy in your life. We need something stronger. We need something better. Positive thinking won't destroy the works of the devil in your life. Heard about a teenage boy said to his daddy, "You know, I think I'm going to fail geometry." His daddy said, "Man, you got to be more positive than that." He said, "Okay, I'm positive. I think I'm going to fail geometry." You know, positive thinking has its place. Positive thinking beats negative thinking every single time. But just smiling and hoping that it goes away and thinking positively will not root out the works of the enemy in your life. And that brings us, therefore, to the principle of sanctification, the principle of surrender. It's really the lordship of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you." The word sanctify means to be made more like Christ, to be made pure, to be made holy. Sanctify you completely. And he mentions your whole body or your whole spirit, your soul and your body. That's the whole you. The body is your physical life. The soul is the psyche, the emotional life, the emotions, the will, the intellect. And the spirit is your spiritual life, how you relate to God. So you have a body, you have a soul, you have a spirit. You are a body, you are a soul, you are a spirit, I should say. You are a new creation in Christ, and Jesus wants to reproduce his righteousness by his spirit in every area of your life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Satan's strongholds are destroyed. Mental fortresses are torn down when we, first of all, repent of all known sin in our lives. Now, that's an important biblical word. It's an important biblical instruction you need to know. Repent. Identify the strongholds in your life. Allow the Holy Spirit to show you, allow the Word of God to pierce your heart, to show you every evil imagination, every evil idea, every thought that is not of God. And as soon as the Holy Spirit, the divine physicians, diagnoses it, you repent of it, turn from it. And you will discover that therefore there is now no condemnation to those who are in Jesus Christ. And the next time the devil reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. Because when I read my Bible, he's destined for the pit forever and ever. And there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But what about those strongholds? What about those past sins in your life that the effect and the behavior and the temptation is still strong? We all have besetting sins. We all have vulnerabilities. We all have certain weaknesses in our lives that must be overcome by putting on the armor of God. And what I'm going to say, having repented of your sin, renew your mind. Now, there are those who teach regarding demons and getting rid of Satan and the devil in your life that what you need is a big time deliverance. You know, get you down here, lay hands on you. I don't want to minimize, I'm not making fun of anyone or anything, but so often the emphasis is on have some kind of a deliverance service, demand and command the enemy and the demons to come out, and zappo wappo, you're done. But the Bible teaches more than a deliverance model, it teaches a discipleship model. That we are sanctified. Most people are not instantaneously, miraculously delivered from all the past bondages and strongholds and ways of thinking in their life. For example, if you're under the bondage of alcohol, God himself could just take away every desire or taste for alcohol. He could do that. I've had people say, the Lord did that for me. But I've also talked to some people who have dealt with addictions, let's just keep on the alcohol issue, who have dealt with addictions who said, if I smell it, I still have a desire for it. There's still a behavior pattern. It's dug deep in. So whatever your stronghold is, you have to deconstruct the past by the Word of God. You have to overcome what took place in yesteryear by rebuilding and renewing your mind. The way you renew your mind, the way your mind is transformed, is by the teaching and the training that takes place when we open the Word and the Word begins to cleanse us. The Word begins to sanctify us. The Word begins to develop new patterns and ways of thinking in our lives. And I'm saying sometimes that takes some time. It may take biblical counseling. That's why in James 5 it says, if you have a fault, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to go and confess it to one another and pray for the healing of God. And so it may take others to encourage you, to help you along. So I'm saying that Jesus does it all, but that doesn't mean he does not use means, that his primary means is the Word of God and taking our thoughts captive. God has so made us, this is a great truth, God has so made us that we can only think one thought at a time. If I'm thinking the right things, I can't be thinking the wrong things. And what we need to learn how to do is to replace the way we think, not of thoughts of evil, but of thoughts of God. Whatsoever things are true and honorable and good report, think on these things. Get it? That's the renewal of the mind. We must rebuild godly fortresses of truth and habits of holiness and purity. We must learn to love God more than our sins. When is the last time you said a good, healthy, wholesome no in the power of God to the enemies and all of his temptations? Because I assure you, every time you win, every time you say no, every time you defeat the enemy, every time you draw the sword of the Spirit and run the enemy through, you're building a strong spiritual tower of faith in your life. Claim and confess your victory over all sinful behavior, because the devil is bluffing. He really has no cards. You call his hand in Jesus' name and live in the victory that is ours in Christ. You are more than a conqueror.
Pastor, so many of our viewers watching are perhaps being held captive by strongholds in their own life. What would you say to them in order to allow them to be set free?
Well, as we talked about in the message, a stronghold is anything that gets a grip, where Satan gets a grip on your life. It can be a sin, an obsession. It could be something in your life that you can't get through or can't get over, but it becomes a stronghold. Typically, it is a behavior pattern. It is a lifestyle in which Satan has us under his control, under his power. But here's the great news. Here's the promise of the Bible, and you need to really get this. That is, Jesus is greater than any stronghold that you're facing. And so if you will be honest with God and confess your sin, which means to say the same thing about your sin that God says about it, that it is wrong, that you will not live this way any longer, Jesus will give you the power to overcome. You don't have to be overcome. You don't have to be obsessed with any sin or any situation in your life that captures your mind or your imagination. You don't have to be controlled by some addiction in your life. The power of the cross, the power of the resurrection will enable you to defeat all the works of the enemy in your life.
Thanks, Pastor. This is such an important message that people need to hear, and they hear it when you give generously to PowerPoint. So if you would, please call the number on the screen and give a gift to PowerPoint. We'll send you Pastor Graham's CD message series called Invisible. The fact is, there are questions out there that you don't have answers for. And sometimes those issues lie in the supernatural world that surrounds us. Order this series right now. You'll discover there is more to life than what you see. So call now with your gift and ask for your copy of Invisible. And by the way, thank you from Pastor Graham and the entire PowerPoint team for your financial gifts, your prayers, and your support. Without you, this ministry wouldn't be possible. It is generous financial gifts like yours that keeps this program on air in your community, and we're grateful that you care. Join us again next time as Pastor Graham looks at the importance of prayer in your battle against the enemy. We'll see you then on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.